Welcome, everyone. You've tuned in to Paradigm Shifters, and we've got some paradigm shifters today that made a huge change in their world in order to offer huge changes to a lot of other people in a different world. I'm here in Costa Rica with my dear friend Jill Ruttenberg of Ama Tierra Retreat Center, and hopefully we're going to be joined by her husband, who joined her in this big dream some years back. So welcome to the show, Jill.
Thank you. Thank you for having me.
So what are you doing in Costa Rica? We were old friends in Tucson.
We were. Well, I had to kind of escape George Bush for the second time after he won or stole the election. And my family and I kind of turned to each other and said, I think we need to leave.
Woohoo. So why Costa Rica?
Well, we liked Costa Rica. We didn't really know much about Costa Rica at the time, but we had heard from our friends that it was just a really cool place and a beautiful place and very lush and green, and you could grow a lot of things here. And our intention was to have a beautiful, big organic garden and start to learn about growing tropical plants, because I am a nutritionist and an herbalist, and I love to have fresh food, as most of us do. Also, Costa Rica has no army. They abolished their army in 1949 and started spending all of their money and their resources on educating the people and on creating a bigger middle class. So you have a very educated workforce here. Very, very nice, friendly people. People smile at you.
Yeah, it seems that they smile at you. Strangers smile at you as you walk up the street. And it's very unusual, isn't it?
Yeah, it's really a wonderful thing. And you come to count on it. And when I go back to the U.S. where I'm from, I often go through kind of culture shock to see that people don't do that. And it seems so much more normal and organic for me now to experience friendliness and smiles and people actually looking you in the eye when they talk to you and looking you in the eye when they walk by you, even if they don't know you.
I wanted to say something. You said organic, and I'm going, do they cultivate agriculturally? Do they cultivate it more organically and without GMOs than what we have in the U.S.?
Well, I wish I could say unequivocally yes, but I will say that a lot of the farming practices that are standard in Costa Rica, when we're talking about growing big crops for export, like pineapples and bananas and things like that, are actually, they use a lot of pesticides, and it's not very organic. However, what you have in the majority of the little towns in the rural areas is you have a lot of just family farms that are just little plots of land, and they're pretty organic when they're farming their own plots of land around here. So you have both. You do have both. As far as GMOs go, the government has just changed. We have a new president coming in this May who's a lot more leftist and a lot more aware of environmental issues. The last regime for the last 8 years was a lot more center-right and a lot more for the corporations, the multinationals. And they didn't have the courage to say no to Monsanto, but what they did do was make it up to each city government to decide whether they would allow things to be grown. As far as I know, they do not grow GMO corn in this country. Unfortunately, they import a lot of it as animal feed from the U.S. And they're not really growing soy because it doesn't grow. Soybeans don't grow here. So I don't think there's a lot of GMOs. There are some vegetables I hear that are being grown that are GMO.
Hmm.
But it's not as rampant as in the U.S.
So when, thanks for that. It's a little bit supportive, isn't it, of a lot of our dream. So when you left Tucson, what was your dream? You were going to come to Costa Rica. You decided that. What was your plan? How were you going to begin a new life?
Well, everything just sort of happened for us. I can't say that we had this huge plan or this huge dream. I always tell people that we're living the dream that we didn't know we had here. But
you're an herbalist, right? And a nutritionist and a massage therapist and very much a healer and an advanced consciousness, right?
Well, I like to think so. Thank you. What we wanted to do was to create a retreat center, kind of an oasis where people could come. We were seeing things just spinning out of control in the U.S., and I feel like they've even gotten more out of control with the advancement of the technology that people's brains now need to keep up with, and people's workload has increased so much that people are really in need of a place where they can come and just be with nature, be with themselves, be with some other like-minded people if they want to, or sit and dine alone if they wish, eat really good, organic, nutritious foods, and heal. So that was our goal, was to create that kind of a place. We have a 10-room retreat center here, and I feel really good about how it works when people arrive and they kind of come with their big suitcases on their backs full of baggage and full
of... in their minds.
Yeah, and all the stress they come here with. And by the time they leave, they look like different people. You've seen it. You've been here for 5 weeks now.
Yeah, I'm just very impressed. But what happens with them is they're under your hands for massage. You teach the belly work, that Chinit song, which is an amazing belly work, which helps people sort of release the subconscious healing things. Tell more about what you do, herbal things. What else do you do, Jill?
Well, I'm a clinical herbalist, which means I'm not necessarily a botanist. Some herbalists are all really good at, mixing. I am good at mixing formulas, but good at cultivating the herbs and growing them and gathering them and working with them that way. I'm more trained as a clinical Chinese herbalist, and I use Western herbal medicine in my practice. So it's more like people come to me and they have some ailment or some problems, and I help them find the right herbs that'll help them. So I'm an herbalist in that sense. We also lead detoxes here. And the massage work that I've been doing, I've been working as a massage therapist for about 27 years. But what I really love, it's one thing to be able to go to a massage therapist and have them work on you, and that's all well and good, and it feels wonderful, and the effects may last for a couple of days. But if you can learn to do some techniques on yourself, which I'd love for your listeners to experience now if they'd like, to experience what it's like to actually get in touch with your own belly, it can be quite healing. And this is the work I like to teach people in this work called Chinit Song, which is loosely what I base my work on. It's not completely by the book Chinit Song. Chinit Song is three words. It means inner organ chi transformation.
Oh, wow. That's what we want.
Yeah.
I mean, the belief that we hold old emotions in all our organs. It's a natural, isn't it? And of course, when I work with the belly, I always think of it as housing the subconscious, karma, everything left over, including hamburgers, right? So I really want you to teach me and everybody listening an exercise that would help us clear that part of the body, or clear it, or make it more, what would you say? Is it a clearing? Is it a healing? Is it more active when you're done?
Well, I feel like it's all of those things. It can be a clearing. It's a moving of the actual energy of the body through the organs. And I like to, when I do this practice on myself, and I encourage other people to really get in touch with your emotional body as you're working the belly, because everything that comes into your consciousness has an emotional charge to it. Everything we do, everything we say, all the people we come in contact with, we get an emotional charge.
Mm-hmm.
And that charge registers in the belly. So it can be something very simple. You smile at someone, there's a little charge. There's just this little reaction that happens in your belly.
Right.
And that's easy. That's easy to digest. But when it comes to the more difficult things, having an argument with your boyfriend, girlfriend, being laid off at work, having parental and familial issues come up. These are things that take a lot of doing and a lot of going in and feeling what's actually going on in order to process those emotions.
Because some of them might be a trigger of old subconscious stuff, eh?
Absolutely. Yeah, we get triggered all the time, don't we?
Yeah, we do. Well, I'm really excited to learn this. So what do I have to do? Lie down? Stand up?
Okay, well, you can be sitting if you like. If you're in a place where you're already kind of lying down, you want to keep your knees up so your belly is kind of sunken in a little bit.
Okay.
And if you're sitting, you just want to close your eyes and take your hands just below the rib cage on either side of the, above the navel. And just hold for a moment as you allow your breath to go in nice and deep and slow, filling up your belly. and out. And as the breath comes out, just go ahead and press just a little bit on the belly there. And give your body the message that it's okay to feel whatever you might feel while you're doing this work. And you want to keep your feelings simple. Mad, sad, glad, scared, worried.
Are we breathing in and out over and over?
You're breathing in and out. I want to show you, I think it would, for the interest of time, I think it would be helpful to do three, to show you three techniques.
Perfect.
Now continue to breathe in and out as your hands are on your belly and pressing down into the belly on the exhale, not too hard, just getting your body used to having your hands there, because your own hands are very healing. They're the most healing hands for you. And then let's think about the intestines. Well, the intestines are like ribbon-like, and they go back and forth across the whole belly, inside all the way into your body toward your back. But they also have a direction, a flow, from the lower right hip, inside the right hip, all the way up underneath the right rib cage. And you just go ahead and follow this along with me, if you will, across the belly toward the left side, and then under those ribs come down to the inside of the left hip. So let's just do little cat paws, beginning with this right inside hip and coming up. As you're breathing, you're coming all the way up under the rib cage, and you're coming over and stopping in the center for a big breath. Pushing in and down. If there was a little map on the belly, this would be your heart area. So if there's a lot of tightness there, you get a lot of indigestion, you might want to think about issues of the heart for you. If we're following the flow of Chinese medicine, we'd be talking about the fire element here. We'd be talking about joy as an emotion, or lack of joy, perhaps. Maybe you want to laugh a little bit more. Sometimes there's an imbalance where we're too joyful. People who laugh a lot when they're speaking might have a little bit of manic stuff going on. And then go ahead and move over to the left side. Cat's paws all the way down to the inside of the hip bone. So that's one technique, following the flow of the intestines there. And if you do this with consciousness, with your breath, you can ask your body and get in touch with whatever's going on in these different systems, these different places, and use your own intuition. Maybe you'll stop in one area and just press in. Maybe you'll feel some kind of hardness or lumpiness. Want to kind of get under that and move it. And ask yourself, what am I feeling? Give yourself permission to feel whatever it is. Just like you would be encouraging a child or your child self. Go ahead, it's okay, you're safe to feel. And there are techniques to know what to do when you do feel things, and those are important too. But I'd like to first show you the other two techniques. Now you want to find your navel. And instead of going right down into it, you want to go right on the rim of your navel and make little circles so that you're taking just little bits of the navel at a time and coming around kind of clockwise with one finger or two fingers. And you might feel some lumpy spaces. Those will tell me as a practitioner, those would tell me some things.
What would it tell you?
Well, for example, if there's a lot of lumpiness over in the sort of upper left quadrant, it might say that my digestive system, my stomach spleen, we would call it in Chinese medicine, is not functioning all that well. And I would want to go in and just press a little bit deeper in that area and take some nice breaths and find out if I'm nurturing myself these days as I'd like to. Or if things are just really hard to digest these days, or what's going on with me. It's all about staying and becoming more conscious. So then continuing around your navel, going all the way around. You do this a few times. This is also very detoxifying, and it stimulates the lymph that moves toxins through the blood.
Around the navel.
Mm-hmm. A lot of lymph tissue there. Then the third technique that I'd like to show you is to take your hands about 3 inches away from the navel on either side and just pump up and down. Now, this is a little bit hard to breathe deeply for, but this is especially good if you've got a lot of stuck energy or stuck food and you haven't digested very well in the last day or two. You just come up and down, up and down, up and down. People with chronic digestive problems, I encourage them to find a practitioner of this work, of this abdominal work. And you can go to a website, Chi Nitsang, chineitsang.com, or I think it's .org, .com or .org. And their headquarters are in Berkeley, California. And you can find a practitioner through that website and wherever you live.
Jill, many, many years ago, I was widowed, as you know, but for about a year afterwards, I had a huge pain right in the upper part where you're talking about the heart.
Mm-hmm.
And I learned that that was a really deep grief pain or a hole in the essence of the being. And I'm just thinking this might be the kind of tool a person could use to work that through.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Yeah. And just be with yourself and be patient. If you're in that sort of grief situation, be patient with yourself and know and remind your child self that joy will return to this center,
right.
That you won't always be in grief, that you're just in a spiral of healing right now.
And loss and leads to gain, right?
Mm-hmm. And it'll get better.
Thank you.
So don't be afraid to play with your own belly. And I like to do this first thing in the morning. I don't like to do it after a heavy meal.
Oh, gee, why?
So, and these are the kinds of things that when people come to Amitiyera, they don't quite know what to expect. But especially when we do detoxes, we're not just detoxing the body and the liver and the colon. We're detoxing the whole self. So we come from a society of holding all of this stuff in the belly and holding all of this stress. And it's so helpful to be in a place where there are other people helping you, and you're in your own process of self-discovery. You're unwinding your bellies.
So it's interesting. Let's say Marie Smith is just coming here, and she's all stressed out from a corporate existence, and she's a single mother. How's that? And she's just really had the biscuit, and she's a little overweight, and she says, I need detox, I need help. What would you do with her? How would you, would you diagnose anything? Do you let her decide what's going to happen?
Well, I always feel like it's a collaboration. And I know there are a lot of detoxing has become very popular. There are a lot of detoxing programs out there. There are people doing the Master Cleanse, which to me is not very supportive for your system.
Why? Because it doesn't do the emotional, or what?
Well, no, because it's just as I know it. It's just water, lemon juice, maple syrup, and cayenne pepper, and that's it. Mm. And you're doing that, so you're basically kind of starving your body for
what
7 days.
What do you offer people?
Well, what I like to do is really treat everyone as an individual. I don't have one program that's set for everyone. But what I'll say is that I find that most people, I try to meet people where they are. So if someone comes in and they've been used to a diet of pizza and fast food, like we had a couple of really young men come from New York, and I thought they were very brave. They're both college students, and they're like 21 and 23.
Wow, good and for them.
It was great
good
that they
them.
Came, and they were just curious and wanting to see what it was like. And they were kind of going cold turkey off of Coca-Cola and hamburgers and everything,
wow.
And I didn't want to slam them too badly, because you can get pretty bad headaches and things, from detoxing if you throw yourself into it too much. But even for them, just introducing a lot of greens, a lot of fresh fruits, fresh vegetables, teaching them how to eat better, this is what they needed for their quote-unquote detox.
And yoga,
yeah, and always we do our morning yoga practice, and that's helpful. And, you know, I might have someone who's like the Marie Smith who you were just talking about, who's a bit overweight, wants to do some weight loss while she's here, wants to get herself on a better diet track. So with her, I may do a little bit more, again, some raw foods, mostly raw foods. We stay away from anything fried or greasy, which we don't really cook here anyway. We stay away from oils and sugar and caffeine and alcohol and even grains. We stay away from grains during the time they're detoxing. So it's mostly they're having soups and broths and juices and green drinks where we keep the fiber in. We have a wonderful organic greenhouse where we grow a lot of our own salad greens and fennel
really
and basil and mint. And so these flavors show up in your salads and they show
some
up.
Some of your normal green salads are the best I've ever had, and I'm a salad junkie. Yeah.
Thank you. I'm glad. I'm glad you've liked it. And they've really nourished you, too.
Really, a lot. I feel wonderful.
Yeah.
I'm a little chubbier, maybe.
Well, that's one of the things about having good food, isn't it?
So with Mary Smith, do you put her on like a regimen where she gets massaged a certain number of times? Or?
Well, our detox program usually includes the belly work and a massage. And then people can add on. They can do exfoliations and wraps and scrubs and a massage every day if they want. Depending on their budget, you know, we're very reasonably priced. I find that most people think it's quite good because if you're going to go to a really fancy spa, you're going to pay, you know, upwards of $1,000 a day. And I think for some of my detox retreats, it's about $8.95 or $9.95 a person. So, a lot comes with that. Yeah. And we try to hold a detox retreat once a month. So that other like-minded people can come. You can come as an individual, but it's better if you're going to do it with others.
You have support, I guess. Eh?
Yeah, and you can kind of grit your teeth together and get through it.
And complain in the nighttime.
You know, yeah, exactly.
But the nighttimes are comfortable in terms of your casitas. But I wanted you to tell people just a bit of a, you don't have to give away everything, but a recipe for detox that they could use at home.
Okay. Well, one thing, if you're wanting to just quit some habits, I would say to get yourself off sugar and caffeine before you even really try to do a detox. So take 3 or 4 days about doing that, especially the caffeine. It can get some pretty bad headaches. L-tyrosine helps some people with those headaches. But if you just taper off over 3 or 4 days, you'll probably be okay. And then you might want to start your morning with lemon juice and water. Just
cold or hot water?
Either one. Whenever, you know, if you're living in a cold climate and you're doing it in a cold time of year, then hot water with lemon is good. Cold is actually more stimulating for detoxing than heat, than hot foods and things are. And then get yourself, you know, if you can, if you have a blender, you know, you can get yourself some hemp protein, for example, and some flax seed that's ground. I like the ground flax seed. If you try to chew on the seeds themselves, you're not going to really release as much of the good omegas. Maybe an apple and a little bit of ginger and turmeric. We grow turmeric here on the property, which is a wonderful thing about living in the tropics. You can grow those things, ginger and turmeric. And we harvest it, we solar dry it, we powder it, and we sell it to the guests. And we put it in all of our green drinks. This time of year, I still have some fresh. But otherwise, we put the powdered turmeric in. That's a really good liver cleanser.
So I learned also recently that it builds bones.
The turmeric does?
Yeah, it stops bone loss or osteoporosis or osteopenia.
Stops bone loss.
Yeah, isn't that amazing?
Yeah. It's a pretty amazing herb, turmeric.
It
does a lot of things. It's anti-inflammatory, antiviral, antibacterial, dredges the liver. It's a wonderful thing. You can make a mouth rinse out of it. And
the only thing about that, you were worried about it staining the teeth, maybe, but it doesn't look like it stained your teeth.
No, I actually, what I did was I made a powder with the turmeric and baking soda and just swish it around in my mouth. And actually, there's been some studies that show that it does better for gingivitis than the chlorhydroxyl, I believe is the name of the medicine that they usually use for the gums, and
well,
that has
that
a lot
is
of
very good to
side
hear.
Effects.
Isn't it? Yeah. That's tremendous. So let's see. I know that you do yoga. What kind of yoga do you do? And people seem to really love your classes. I've been to some of them myself.
Ah, thank you. Well, I teach yoga, and I also import various teachers from different places, but I'm a little bit of an old school girl. I like gentle hatha yoga. I think it works best for the most bodies, and I know that many other forms of yoga have become popular in North America and in Europe and really in the whole world these days. And I really find that the gentle hatha style for people who are trying to really rejuvenate their bodies and relax on a trip like when people come here, it works the best for them. So I pretty much insist on that for many of the teachers who come. And people
do. So yoga is also detoxifying, isn't it?
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And there's so many more people doing yoga now, and it's very encouraging to me because I see people who maybe wouldn't be moving as well if they hadn't been introduced to it. And so, it's detoxifying. It gets you in touch with your whole body. Yoga, of course, means union. So you're uniting your body and your mind and your emotional body and your spirit. And you're also uniting with yourself with divine consciousness when you're doing that deep breathing and that moving slowly. We also teach meditation here every day, most days. And it's usually just a short session, about a half hour, but we guide people through. And then we'll be silent for a while. We had a wonderful man here a few weeks back. He's a Buddhist monk. His name was Bhante Suhatha. He's from Sri Lanka, but he's lived in Illinois, has the Blue Lotus Temple in Woodstock, Illinois, and he came here for a week with a group, a yoga group, and they did meditations every day and studied the sutras. And ever since he left, he really left me with the wonderful loving-kindness meditation. Would you like to hear it?
I'd love to hear it.
Okay.
Would you all like to hear it too? I think so.
I think they said yes.
Me too.
Wish this was two-way. Maybe we can get good enough sometime.
Audio Skype.
Right. All right, so let's just close our eyes for a moment. Get into a really nice space. Imagine that you're in the beautiful, lush, green jungle with colorful birds around you. Smell of rain in the air. Temperature just right. Take a couple of deep breaths in through your nose and out through your nose, filling up the belly, your rib cage, your chest. Releasing the breath through your chest, your ribs come in, your belly comes back toward the spine. All the breath comes out. Let yourself breathe in naturally when your body's ready. Relax your mind, your body. And repeat this mantra. I am well. I am happy. I am peaceful. I am well. I am happy. I am peaceful.
It feels very transcendent, very peaceful, doesn't it?
Mm-hmm.
Isn't it wonderful? The other thing I wanted to mention about peaceful is the vibrations of this land are really amazing. And I'd forgotten it. I stepped foot on it 5 weeks ago and went, oh, yes. The other thing is you have this yoga studio here. Talk about vibrations, which is built. It's huge. And it's built. Is that an octagon? Is that eight sides?
It's an octagon.
Mm-hmm. Octagon. And it's beautiful, beautiful wood. It's mostly open to the forest and to the jungle. And the vibration in here is really amped up by the shape of the ceiling of the roof, isn't it?
Yeah.
So my experience is we come in here for meditation and Jill brings out her beautiful
crystal singing bowl, yes.
Yes. Uh-huh. And when you apply that tone, Would you like to bring it over and see if people enjoy that?
I will. I'd love to tell a tiny story first.
Please.
If you'll indulge me.
Of course.
We knew from the start that this place had a really special energy. And it had used to be called La Finca Que Ama, which is kind of a strange thing because a finca is a farm. So a farm that loves, loving farm. And it was actually named that by an Israeli couple, young couple that bought the land and built the place, part of the place. We built the studio and some other things. But when I came to meditate on the land, I kept hearing the words Ama, Alma, Ama, Alma. Ama is love. Alma is soul.
Oh, I didn't realize that. Alma is soul. I think I didn't know that, but I forgot.
Uh-huh. So I knew that we had to keep that Ama name because the land wanted it to stay there, a loving place and a soul place. And it wasn't until... We were here for about 5 years. We've been here 8.5 now. When we were here about five years, I went back to the U.S. and got stuck in that big snowstorm that was happening in Boston. And I was for 3 days trying to get home, and it was a big hassle, and I wasn't sleeping. And I ended up spending the night in the Houston airport and not being able, of course, who can sleep in an airport when they're talking about code yellow all night, every other second. And I came back, and I was just exhausted, and I got out of the car, and I started walking down our steps to the front reception area of the place, and I felt just coming up my arms, I could feel this energy that was almost like, if you can imagine what it would feel like to be beam me up, Scotty, you can imagine that like the crystals.
You became translucent, did you?
Yeah, it was like coming into my body again. And wow. I realized this is what this land does. This is the kind of rejuvenation energy that's here that most people, and even me for 5 years, had never felt. Most people won't even notice it. But that's what it's doing, and that's how healing it is. So,
they might not notice it, but you see the difference between their arrival and their leaving.
Absolutely.
People who are heavy and kind of down are just radiant as they leave, even 3 days later, right?
It's true. And some people will say, I've only been here for 5 days, but I feel so good. And it feels like time stood still for me for a time. And they're always thanking us, and we're really grateful that they come here and feel what they feel, because it's really a very satisfying, fulfilling feeling for us.
It's remarkable. So I don't know what your dream was, but you've certainly amped it up. We're going to call over Bob and see if he'll come and talk to us for a few moments, too, while Jill gets her crystal singing bowl. Is that what it's called? Wow, that's a gorgeous singing bowl. It's called a singing bowl, but it has, what, crystals in the handle?
I call it my big wine glass, if you can imagine, a great big wine glass. It's about 8 inches in diameter at the top. And then the stem has this beautiful carnelian crystal, and it's tuned to the D note, which, if you study sound healing, is for the second chakra below the belly button and above the pubic bone.
And so I want everybody to pay attention to your belly as Jill puts you through the D, right?
Okay.
Body. So Bob's joined us. Hi, Bob.
Hi, Ronnie.
This is Bob Ruttenberg, and he's the marketing half of the team. And I was wondering, who comes here? Who comes to Ama Tierra, and how do you get them to come?
Well, we're actually in a more of a remote area, so we have to do some different kinds of things to get people here. We're halfway between Manuel Antonio Park and Arenal Volcano, which are the two of the most major attractions we have in this country. So we're halfway between the two of them. And we don't get people driving by and just saying, oh, let's stop at that hotel over there. It looks like a nice hotel.
Right.
Because people aren't, you know, they don't know about us. The way they mostly find out about us is we have a very good website and have a very good presence on the website for people to find us if they're looking for specific things like yoga and meditation and detoxing and wellness and holistic health. So they just have to type in the keywords using Google, mm-hmm. which is where most people find us. I would say that 90% of the people...
Yeah, we're Googling our life lately.
90% of the people find us by Google and Yahoo and Bing.
Oh, good.
Those
okay.
are the three ways most people...
And what about magazines or health, healing,
you
healing
know, word of mouth
magazines?
Is probably the best friend we have here in repeat business. Those okay. are the two things that happen most. And TripAdvisor, of course, is very key to all of our businesses here in this country. Differentiates us from others, because with TripAdvisor, people can write about their experience and others can see and others use that as kind of like, I would say, to make a comparison, to be like Zagat's in different parts for eating in restaurants, because the Zagat's books talk about the really good restaurants in different cities.
Oh, I haven't heard of those.
Yeah, so TripAdvisor is really used quite frequently by many people.
And people give feedback on their experience.
People can give feedback on their experience. People can look at other people's feedback, and they can go back 10 years, 12 years, and look at all how the hotels and how the different retreat centers have grown and gotten better.
Oh, wow.
Or maybe deteriorated, depending on, you know, what the reviews are.
So tell me this, who comes? Yeah.
Who comes? Well, I'm
here.
Yeah. Our demographic and Amatya are women from the ages of 25 to 70.
Okay.
That's probably about 75% of our business, women. And there, many of them are single or married or doctors or work for pharmaceutical companies, and they're trying to understand more about some of the things that we're doing here that are more holistic, that they may not have that experience where they live, but they like to come to a place that not only has that, but also has the environment and the ambiance to go along with
to
that.
To go with it. Mm.
So what I try to do more here is read people's energy fields musically. So when they come here, I try to see what they like and ask questions and just, you know, nonchalantly, not like drilling them and say, what do you want to hear now? Not that way.
Yeah, because you play music all the time.
Well, and we do play a lot of music here, and we're very big on kirtan music here. We're very big on world music, on meditation music. So music is just as important from an energy standpoint as yoga.
Well, it's the vibrational tools that Jill was just using, yeah.
And you had a lifetime of music anyway.
Yeah, I was in the music industry for 40 years.
Yeah, you had a pretty
marketing.
Exciting career in it.
Yeah, marketing more than
And you had a record store.
Couple, down about 6 miles from Red Rocks. If anybody knows where Red Rocks is, that's one of the most beautiful outdoor amphitheaters in the world to play music. And wow. So we were fortunate enough to sell tickets and be a ticket vendor then, and also made a lot of transitions in the music industry. We went from the record, an 8-track, to reel-to-reel, to the cassette, to the CD,
wow.
to the VHS and beta.
And now and the server with the little square
now,
thing you press the buttons
on. And now one day,
on.
Folks, you're going to be able to look at your wristwatch, and you're going to be able to watch any movie you want. You just look at your watch when you're flying on an airplane, and you'll say, oh, there's Forrest Gump, look.
Yeah. That's great. Well, how about you with the dream of being here? What is it? Is the music enough? You have to do a lot of work as a marketer.
Yeah, music is just why. Jill and I have always been enjoyed entertaining in the different cities that we've lived in our 40 years of marriage. We've always gone and felt comfortable around people, friends, and like-minded people that come. Many times people would come to our house for gatherings over the holidays and over the... just in general, we like to entertain, and so we kind of took that with us from the different cities we've lived, and we didn't know anything about the hotel business, neither of us.
Mm.
You know, I mean, we sort of just
has it been a real learning curve?
Crawled around a lot.
Huge learning curve?
Yeah, we crawled before we walked, and we're still walking. We haven't quite run yet, but we're walking. And it's been a great learning experience. If anybody ever, any of your listeners ever say, you know, I think I'm just going to go retire to a place like, maybe like Costa Rica or Bali or Thailand or one of those places, and just open up a B&B. How hard could it be? It can't be that difficult. And I say to them, yeah, okay, I welcome you to try and do that. If you haven't seen the exotic Marigold Hotel, I think there's a first one you should see before you decide that you're going to take that venture on.
But they succeed in that adventure.
But I think that the bottom line is where you are in the environment that you're working really surpasses just about everything. And this place, Costa Rica, is beyond amazing. It's like no place I've ever lived as far as energy, as far as the climate here is almost perfect.
Well, you look like you're blooming in it anyway.
Yeah, and another thing that I don't know if we've talked about at all, but you know, changing your eating habits and eating the kinds of stuff that grow on this property that we don't have to go and search for. It's here.
Right.
And I think as we go through life, we're going to need to have more of that in our little communities where we live. People are trading cucumbers
for
evolution,
carrots. It's called sustainable evolution. But talking about as we get older, I want to refer to something else you offer here, which is the use of the biomat.
Mm-hmm.
I think you both have a little bit to say about that.
Mm-hmm. Well, I'll start.
Please.
The biomat is a wonderful tool. It's just a little pad that lays on top of a massage table, or you could have it on your bed. Some people sleep with the biomat. And it's filled with amethyst crystal, which conducts the negative ions, which are the same as the particles that are in the air when it's about to rain or when it is
beautiful
raining.
Beautiful time of energizing.
Mm-hmm. Yeah. And if you're near a waterfall or the ocean, you're going to feel a lot of negative ions. And those are the particles that kind of bring you down to earth. Those are the magnetic ones that calm you down. And usually I get on the biomat and I fall asleep. And it also generates far infrared rays.
Hmm.
And those are the most healing ray of the light spectrum, and it helps to increase circulation in your whole body. So the little capillaries that don't normally get a lot of blood flow as we get older, and some of us develop a little bit of arthritis or just, you know, joint pain or muscle pain, back
maybe
problems.
Maybe lazy capillaries, right?
Right, exactly. This will kind of speed that up and increase blood flow in all those areas. And I'm starting to really think that the increasing blood flow is the way to, I don't want to say counteract aging, but to enhance our good health as we age.
Mm-hmm. That makes sense. Mm-hmm. So a person who wants to use a biomat just goes and lies down?
They just go and lie down. We have a small charge for it. It's a bit of an expensive instrument. You can get them online. It's a Ridgeway company, and check it out, Biomat, because it's in the United States. It's been approved as an FDA by the FDA as a medical device. Mm. So you could actually get your doctor to write you a prescription for a Biomat, and maybe your insurance company. I don't know if Obamacare will cover it, but you know, you could see if it will cover. And it's a wonderful thing for, you know, I've got some chronic low back pain, and I get on there, and 20 minutes later, I just feel great.
Well, I had an experience of my knee being out for 6 months, and they wanted to do surgery. And I was giving a talk. I was at a big expo, and I was busy, and I was on my feet all weekend. I was very, very busy with people. And I had a free experience, 20 minutes on the biomat. Next day, this is after breaking camp, putting everything away, and being quite exhausted, I got up the next day and my knee was working just fine.
That's so great.
I know. So I figure as I get a little older, which might happen, I'm going to invest in one. Why not?
After
awesome.
After 5 years of having this biomat here, 4 or 5 years almost, I've noticed that the people who diligently use it, and when I say diligently use it, that means you turn it on and warm it up for maybe 20 minutes.
Okay.
And then you get on it for maybe 40 minutes, 35, 40 minutes. And do that maybe twice a day. If they're on a 7-night package or they're on a 5-night package, they can take the time to do that during the day. I noticed a lot of people have a different energy when they're done and leaving here
mm-hmm.
from Amatera. And I think that has created something very positive And I think that you're going to start to see a lot more of those kinds of pieces of equipment in chiropractic offices as we move through the years.
Yeah, there's something called a grounding mat that people are using lately. Mm-hmm.
And if you have spondylolisthesis, which many people have, which is a problem in the lower back, it's amazing what it will do for you to help you.
Sounds like it beats surgery and stuff, huh?
Oh, absolutely. If I have a choice, always, I will do the bottom mat.
So, Jill, there's a number of different workshops that happen here. What kind of people come for workshops?
Well, we do two things. We host our own workshops here, the detoxes, the detox programs, certain yoga workshops. Sometimes we'll do like a sound healing workshop. And also other people, other instructors come, like yoga instructors or
I did
bands.
One on energy.
Yep, yep, you came, Veronica, and did a wonderful, wonderful workshop on energy. That was great.
Plus, I saw something on that Bob was responding to the other day of this grand group of belly, traditional dancers, the belly dancers. Oh, it was pretty impressive. They're YouTube, and they want to come and do that in this yoga studio. It's wonderful.
Yeah, people love to come and bring groups, and so they bring their own people. But most of those groups, even if they're organized with their own people, just about anybody can join. So if we keep that on the website. There's a calendar, and you can see, you know, what's coming up and make a plan to come and be with those people. And do whatever the retreat is, or you can do your own little retreat on your own at any time, just an individual retreat, or you can bring your friends. We have something coming up from the end of September into October that we're calling Circle of Friends, and the rates are very low because it is our a little bit more rainy time. We have pretty good weather up here. I mean, really good weather up here, as you've seen.
I think it's a stunning weather here.
Yeah. And right now we're getting into a little bit of the green season, the rainy time, where we have really sunny mornings and then the clouds start to come in around noon, 1 o'clock, and might rain at 3 or 4 in the afternoon for a time and then be gone. Well, that gets a little more rainy, a little more rain in the afternoons and the nighttime as we get into September and October. So we lower our rates, all of Costa Rica does. And the Circle of Friends, if you bring 6 people, you can have your own little mini retreat. It might be your family. It might be just a bunch of friends to have a really nice, quiet retreat time. And we have really good rates for that, and you can see that on our website. But as far as who comes, you know, it's always amazing to me that there seems to be this lining up, this alignment that happens of people. Like we'll have two nurses that come as friends, and then we'll have like someone who does Reiki come, and they teach each other, and they form friendships that sometimes we'll hear from them a year later. Oh, we just went to Bali together. People that,
wow,
that met
isn't that
here.
Wonderful? Yeah, so it's a real community consciousness.
It is, and it's a great feeling because it's not always that easy to meet people, like-minded people. Even if you're all going to yoga together, you know, people go to yoga, they go home. Mm-hmm. You know, they don't necessarily stop and chat.
And it's
here
a quiet
we have our
process. Yeah.
Yeah, and we have our beautiful dinners on the balcony where everybody eats together if they want to. If you don't want to and you want to be silent, we've even got silent badges. Don't talk to me today. I'm in my space. You know?
What a good idea. But also, Jill plays an amazing piano, and people, it's fun here, too. I have to say, people get very inner, and it's peaceful. There's a lot of meditation, but it gets to be fun.
Yeah, and we sang Obladi Oblada for Marie Pierre's birthday last night.
That was wonderful. Yeah.
Uh-huh. And the people come from a lot of places in the world, and we're always amazed at just to hear their stories and hear what their lives are like in these different places like Bulgaria and South Africa and all different places that we get people from. So we've had many people from India come, and I guess aside from India, Costa Rica is the second most popular place to come and do yoga.
Oh, isn't that wonderful to hear? I didn't realize that.
Yeah.
Well, I had an experience the other day with a 10-year-old local boy who speaks only Spanish, and I don't speak Spanish, so he and I played in the pool, but he had a wonderful time. He loved the food, he loved the place, he loved the people. So that was another feeling I had, that how good it was that a child could, you know, really enjoy himself.
Yeah.
It was great.
I'm always surprised at how much children like it here. I think it's because they can wander, but it's safe. And there is a feeling of safety at this place. As Bob was mentioning, a lot of our clientele are single women. and from all different ages. And I think, as you know, as the world and the news media scares us a little bit about traveling alone, especially women want to know that they're coming to a place that's safe. Mm-hmm. And Bob is always good about really reassuring them that, yeah, you can come here. It's a bit insulated. You can see the country and you can venture out a little bit, but you're going to be with a driver who knows where he's going. And you don't have to think. You don't have to make a lot of decisions. We have a little motto here, and we say we like people to be cared for and carefree at Amatir.
Oh, that's wonderful. I have to say to people that I'm staying in a little casita, and outside there are so many mangoes hanging on the tree. It's just like they're raindrops where I come
it's
from.
It's mango time.
Oh,
yeah.
My, there's just billions. Mm-hmm. Which gets me to this, which is a book called From the Balcony. It's the Amatira Cookbook. Do you want to talk a little bit about that? Because your recipes, are these all your own recipes for starters?
Well, these are, I direct the kitchen. I don't do all the cooking, thank goodness.
You have wonderful staff.
Too many hats to wear. I have a wonderful staff, and they are just dear. They're family to us, and most of them have been with us for the 8 years we've been here. And From the Balcony was actually the idea of our guests. They kept coming, and many honeymooners, young honeymooners who were just starting to make a home together and get into how do they cook healthier foods, and they loved our food, and they begged us and begged us. And finally, about a year ago, we came out with the Amatira Cookbook, thanks to my daughter. I have two wonderful daughters who... This place is partly named after Ama, Tierra, Amanda, and Tara.
Oh, nice.
Yeah. And Amanda is an artist, and she's living in Connecticut with her two beautiful, our beautiful grandchildren, Gavin and Adeline. And she did a beautiful job on the photographs in the book. And we have things like our healthy hummus recipe, our pumpkin soup, our mango and feta quinoa salad that if you don't get fresh mangoes, you could use pineapple or something else. Our gallo pinto, there's a few recipes in here that are like local fare, so and made in a healthier way than sometimes is made locally. The gallo pinto is the rice and bean dish, and it means painted chicken, gallo pinto, which is because it looks a little bit like that with mm-hmm. the rice and beans in there and wonderful cilantro. And all the ingredients are very fresh, and people love this little book.
So it's not vegetarian.
Yeah. And if you'd like to sign up to be on our newsletter, you just go to our website, and oftentimes we'll put a recipe in the newsletter every month. So
oh, nice.
Not every month, just some months I'll do that. And so eventually you can have the book, or you can write to us through the website, www.amatira.com, and we can arrange to send you a cookbook, sell you a cookbook. Our salad dressing everybody loves. You've loved it here.
Right? We met a young woman who's a really bright, forward-thinking young woman. She likes to drink it off.
She does drink it, yeah, yeah.
She cries, but it's very good. So I want to say thank you so much. Thank you for having the dream and also the chutzpah to respond to a political situation. I remember you saying many years ago, if he's in again, we're out of this country. And next thing I know, you're packing your bags. Mm. I really admire that. Not only that, is look what you and Bob have done.
Well, thank you so much.
If you could all see this, you would be just amazed.
Well, and please come and see it.
Yeah, come and see it, or at least look at the website, amatira.com. Yeah. This is Veronica Entwistle saying thank you so much to Jill and Bob Ruttenberg for the inspired work of Amatira Retreat Center, because it's really had a huge impact on me and many others. Thanks, Jill.
Thank you.
Thank you, Ryan.
Thanks, Bob.